The United States has been fighting in Afghanistan for more than 16 years and in Iraq for nearly that long. We know about some of the obvious problems and challenges that have come with those efforts, the loss of lives on all sides, political conflict, and financial costs. But there are stories that haven't been told as openly, like how entering one country can cause its neighboring nation to change its views about your leadership and goals. Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Steve Call tackles those issues in his new book, Directorate S, The CIA and America's Secret Wars in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Call covers the Bush and Obama administration's efforts and strategies in the book, and he joins me to talk about it. Steve, just how difficult has it been for the U.S. to manage all of these relationships with other nations, especially those that may be in conflict with each other? It's the communication factor that really came to mind for me.
The critical relationships in the war that's now in its 17th year were with the leaders of Afghanistan and Pakistan, and mistrust grew up in both of those channels, despite, you know, many, many meetings and video conferences and efforts to understand one another. I think some of that failure was unnecessary and the result of hubris or misunderstanding. Some of it was about the fact that we didn't have the same interests, and you couldn't paper that over as the years went by. That was particularly true with Pakistan. You know, there was a big effort to try to get the Pakistanis to really do something about the Taliban, who still enjoy sanctuary inside Pakistan and support from Pakistan's intelligence service. You know, there were a lot of secret talks and exchanges of papers about, well, what would it take to get you to really work with us on our side of the war. And in the end, the trust just wasn't there, and the relationship effectively collapsed around 2011 or so when we killed Osama bin Laden on Pakistani territory.
Now, whether we can define success one way or the other, is it possible, based on what you just said, for the U.S. to have found success, or is this just too complicated? And are some of these nations, again, as you talk about different goals and whatnot, and different strategies, can this ultimately work, or is it a fool's errand to some extent?
Well, I think, you know, we made a lot of promises to Afghans after we threw the Taliban out of power in 2001. We had an opportunity. The second section of the book is called Losing the Peace, and it refers to the years 2002 to 2006, when the Taliban were gone. Al-Qaeda had either been killed in Afghanistan during the air war of the fall of 2001, or they'd fled into Pakistan. A lot of Afghans came home. The international community was united in support. The Afghans revived their old constitution from the 1960s. They staged a couple of successful elections with wide participation. President Hamid Karzai was inaugurated. And during that time, there was really an opportunity to invest in the country and to try to stabilize it. And instead, we went off and fought a war in Iraq. We didn't provide the kind of aid or support to Afghan security forces that was required. And we also treated the Taliban, you know, in a way that history tells you you shouldn't do. When you win a war, sure, you can hold the leaders of the enemy accountable. You can try war criminals, but you can't treat every foot soldier, every sergeant or lieutenant in the enemy force as a candidate for Guantanamo, and that's what we did with the Taliban. We really seeded the bitterness that fueled their comeback a few years later. So I do think that was a missed opportunity. Today, there's a question of, you know, what is good enough? We really have made all these promises to Afghans. They are now fighting the war, taking thousands and thousands of casualties. We're supporting them. It's costly to support them. But to abandon them without trying to negotiate some reduction of violence doesn't seem very wise either.
So how would you characterize the power of the Taliban in 2001 compared to where it's at now? Was it one of those where, based on the U.S. involvement, it took a major plunge, and now based on, as you said, moving on to Iraq and then other things, has the Taliban reestablished where it was pre-9/11?
Not quite, but they've come back pretty close. So, you know, pre-9/11, they ruled the country. They ruled 90% of the country, and they established a government that they called the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. And it was an abhorrent government that suppressed its people and women, you know, staged these grotesque executions in soccer stadiums on Friday. There were only three governments in the world that recognized that Taliban government as legitimate. And then we went in and threw that government out, and the Taliban leaders were either killed or they melted away into Pakistan. Now they've come back as a guerrilla force. They say they represent the legitimate government of Afghanistan that was unjustly thrown out by the U.S.-led coalition. They're about 25,000, 30,000 strong under arms at least. And there are various estimates of how much of Afghanistan's territory they control. The BBC just did its own kind of open source estimate that put the figure up close to 70%. But the U.S. military puts the number much lower, below 50%, maybe a third.
And Steve, how different were the policies implemented by the Bush administration and the Obama administration? I mean, the Bush administration sort of late in the run after Donald Rumsfeld had moved on or had been moved on, and then the Obama administration. Was there a dramatic shift there, or did that shift start earlier in the Bush administration? And then later on, there wasn't all that big a difference.
There wasn't a big difference between the second term of the Bush administration and the Obama administration. I think there was probably a bigger difference between the first and second terms of the Bush administration. The Obama administration inherited a war that the Bush administration recognized was going the wrong way. The Bush administration in its last months carried out a review and recommended a troop escalation, which Obama inherited in his first weeks in office. And his advisors were divided about whether it was wise to follow a path of escalation. His military commanders said, you know, you really need to move quickly. We've got an election coming up. We can't hesitate. And Obama did authorize a troop escalation. But he gradually, I think, became disillusioned with the doctrine and advice that he had received from the Pentagon and didn't think the war was going to succeed. And so at the end of 2009, he made this speech at West Point where he announced that he was going to send more troops to Afghanistan to try to stabilize the war, but he was also going to announce when they would come home in advance. And that was a very strange decision, I think, and it didn't have a very good outcome. It didn't have a good effect in the region because it said to the Taliban, well, this war is on a calendar and you can wait it out. And that's more or less what they did.
Steve Kahl is a Pulitzer Prize winning writer. His latest book is Directorate S, the CIA and America's Secret Wars in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And Steve, thank you for the time.
Thank you for having me.